that's creating the relationship, but how do you build? Build is not just a one interaction, that builds over time. And what is your strategy then after you've met somebody to continue to develop and grow that relationship?
Hello and welcome back to another, Leads to Growth podcast. I'm your host, Chris McCoy, and I've got another great guest with us today. You know, we're with the National Association of Sales Professionals, so we attract some of the best salespeople out there. And we've got Christian Bonner here with us today. Christian, thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely. You know, one of the great things about the way people find their way to my podcast is kind of how they get here. And you know, when somebody's employees reaching out to you, out of a conversation, the sales conversation go the right way. And he's like, you know what? Hey, you need to have Christian on there. I was like, well, tell me a little bit about him. And he sent me some information. I was like, oh, yeah, we need to have this guy on there. Christian is the principal and chief growth officer of his own business, LLC. And Christian helps basically agencies sell in and earn 6- and 7-figure contracts. The guy's been doing it on his own. And listen, there's been a lot of talk about people out there who can't do. So they go out there and teach others. You know, I've been involved in some conversations about that. But the great thing about Christian is Christian's got the track record. Christian's hit the numbers. He's proved himself out there. And he's not a person out there that just didn't feel comfortable out there in the business and had to move somewhere else. He's a person that conquered the business and wanted to share that with other people. So Christian, thanks for being here, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chris. I think it's been a great ride. This entire journey that I've had certainly have been some ups and downs like anybody else, but there's more ups than there's more downs, and I'm still above ground. So nothing to complain about here.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing too. I think Christian, you did a lot of flexing here through the pandemic and quarantine and all these adjustments. And I think that's one of the most intriguing things to me is those people who redefine themselves and reinvented themselves. As we know, like through adversity is always when the most wealthy people become more wealthy, right? And I believe it happens from the bottom on the way up. So what were some key decisions that you've made over the last few years that brought you to where you are today? I mean, and obviously some of them heavily based on what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think the best place to start would be kind of from the beginning. To give you a little bit of back. Yeah, usually helps, right? I think that for me, I always had been an entrepreneur. I was the kid that was cutting them and mowing the lawns in the neighborhood at, 10, 12 years old. I was buying and selling baseball cards. I was doing all of that. So it was sort of natural for me. I actually started a concert promotion business while I was in high school. And it was a great way to kind of pay my way through college. It grew rapidly. We ended up working out with artists like Lady Gaga and Pitbull. So things, worked out really well for us there. And along the way, we got involved with experiential marketing, working with, Disney and Toyota, some really big companies. And things were humming along really good. And then the 2008 recession happened and things really screeched to a halt. And like a lot of the firms that I advise now, I had grown through really word of mouth and referrals. So I went out, I hired a sales consultant. They came in, they really taught me the fundamentals of business development. And I loved it. Loved it so much to the point that I ended up closing down my firm and pivoted to a career in agency business development, where I was for probably about 10 years. I worked for some big agencies, some small agencies. And what I discovered along the way was my superpower, if you will, was really that hunting, the top of the funnel, generating those bigger type of contracts. While the pitch is fun and the close is fun, that's where everybody gravitates to. And I saw a unique opportunity for myself to focus more on top of funnel. So that's what I was doing and doing really well. And, back to your initial question.
Before we get back there, I want to put a little fun point in there. Concert promotion and top of the funnel, right? Relationships, attracting people. I'm always intrigued by somebody that follows a skill that maybe didn't start, because that skill concert promotion probably started off with going to concerts and going to events and stuff like that. And then you just felt what felt good and you kept moving forward with it. I think far too often people go, oh, let me work on my weak skills and strengthen the places where I'm not good, as opposed to leaning into what feels right and what works for them. So I love that piece.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great point. I mean, in the early days when I was doing the concerts, it was before the internet. So how you promoted concerts was you would go to concerts with flyers and you would stand outside and you would hand deliver these and hype up these events to people. And yeah. I think that's really kind of where I started to cut my teeth in sales, whether I realized it or not.
Yeah, that's the first door to door because ain't even no door.
True. That's true. Yeah. So kind of back to fast forward, so the pandemic hits, I'm working at a top agency. And, you know, this whole time though, there was this itch in the back of my head. You know, I wanted to really do something on my own again, but I wasn't sure what or when. But right when the pandemic happened, as we all recall, businesses were closing, agencies were losing businesses. And it kind of felt like deja vu to the recession. And mm-hmm. I felt this time I was in a different place. When the recession hit originally, I was the one that needed that consultant and needed the help. This time I felt like I could give back and help. And that was really the catalyst to push me to launch this consultancy firm that I have here today. And, you know, fast forward, it's been, you know, almost 2 years now, and we're working some really, really great clients. We've been able to help many others beyond even our clients, and things are going really well.
That's great. One of the things that I find is that it doesn't always transfer great salespeople, effective salespeople, and those who are able to teach those skills and those tools to other people. And so I love to hear when it does. And I'm finding it's very interesting because this market is growing so fast. It's very interesting that a lot of these great teachers are leaving corporate America, which is creating a big chasm in corporate America for these middle management people to actually train and develop people within and teach these skills through their departments. But I love that you found your way there now. So tell me exactly what you do now, Christian. Let's tell the audience what you do now, because I know we have a lot of agencies out there, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and people that are looking, maybe not even because, maybe a lot of them because they feel it's their mission, their drive is to help people. And so how do you do that now?
Yeah, great. So we are a business development and growth consultancy. Our specialization really is working with agencies and MarTech companies, although we do help other types of firms as well. The industry has really been hit hard with, you know, there's budget cuts coming from clients. There's a movement to move a lot of the work from agencies in-house. So there's been a lot of changes in the market. And unfortunately, in this industry, most are still, it's sort of the Mad Men era, right? Where it's word of mouth and referrals. And that's how the DNA and the culture of a lot of agencies are still to this day. So we really believe that agencies and MarTech companies must take a proactive outbound approach to new business. So strategically using cold calling, you know, cold email, social media to a very targeted list of prospects that you ultimately want to work with. So the way that that's really our philosophy on what agencies should be doing. So it manifests itself really in one of two ways. We have clients that come to us and say, you know what, we recognize we should be doing this. We're not. We want to build it in-house. Can you help us? And in that regard, we will come in, we will consult, and we will help them put the right people, process, and technologies in place to have this outbound, you know, system. We have other clients that come to us and say, you know what, you're the specialist. You know this better than us. We don't know. Can we outsource it to you? And in that sense, then we'll still do all the strategy work with them, but we become an extension of their team. And we actually then have our own business development representatives that will be doing the sales development efforts on behalf of these clients of ours.
Interesting. It's also interesting to me that the marketing companies, a lot of them are hiring marketing companies. You hear it a lot. People are good at doing it for others and maybe not as good at talking about themselves. We just had a great podcast guest, Chelly Phillips, who talks a lot about your unique selling proposition and your personal brand. And one of the hardest parts for people to do is to write that bio, to write and brag about themselves and to tell that story. So it's very interesting that you help marketing companies find that story within themselves. How much of this is finding that story, like telling the stories of their success, Christian?
Yeah, that's certainly a big part of it, is understanding, you know, the work that they've done, the case studies, helping them articulate that. I think a little bit of, you know, a bigger challenge than that is for them to really understand the problems that they're solving for clients. Because oftentimes, use an example of maybe a web development agency. You know, you ask them, well, what do you do? They're like, oh, well, we develop websites. You know, but why? Why does a company come to you and want a website? There is some business challenge that they were facing that they felt that they needed to invest in a new website. And it is sort of an unlock for a lot of these clients of ours that, you know, you're right. You know, they don't, we solve problems, but it's a little bit of a mind shift for them to think about it from that perspective. So that's one of the big keys that we work with our clients on. And I think another one is these clients of ours have something to say, right? They have, you know, insights, they have knowledge, but for them to articulate that, I think a lot of them take it for granted that everybody kind of knows this, but they don't. And that they really have something unique and interesting, back to kind of your point, to say, but they just don't know how to say it and they take it for granted. So we help them kind of pull that out from themselves and package that in a way that could then be merchandised to prospects.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. You're not, it's a marketing company, not bringing in marketing. It's a marketing company bringing in sales. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. It's that customer interaction. It's relating that high level value to stories. We had a great guest, David Hutchins. Hutchins on, and he has a book called, let's see here, Story Dash, and great book. And it's all about helping you tell your stories of success. And then you also have the story brand process, right? Another great piece. And it's just learning how to tell the story of what you do for others and presenting that in the way that the client or prospect or person or is the hero, not yourself. Yeah. And I think, you know, being able to do that in a human way, marketing is generally a one-way communication, right? It is. So when you bring in sales, it's now listening for the need. It's now, you're not sitting in a room or in a workshop in a round table, calculating it all out, you know, and writing down and making lists and everything like that. You have to do it on the fly in that human interaction aspect. How much of this is, how much do you support these groups in just the client relations aspect, or not the client relations, but the one-on-one prospecting and closing of the deals? Or are you really supportive to get them to a place of where they're able to do that themselves?
Yeah, well, our focus is certainly on, you know, actually generating, helping them or generating for them the deals. What we often find is that once we are able to do that, it's also a different mindset when you're used to an inbound type of lead where they have now identified already a problem that they have and they're out searching for a solution and you might be one of a few vendors that they've reached out to. That's a different conversation than an outbound interaction where, absolutely, you know, you may have identified a problem or think they have a problem and you're trying to generate, you know, an interest from them and uncover a pain point that they may not even realize that they have at this point. So I wouldn't say that is something that we are, that's a core of our business, but it's becoming a bigger core because we're recognizing that there's a huge need and then opportunity to help these clients. Because we always say, like, we can bring you as many leads as possible out there, but if you're not closing them at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to be working with us very much longer. So it's in all of our best interest to help, you know, get the ball down and put it in the end zone.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm also wondering too, as you talk about marketing and marketing is almost like you said, it's when somebody has the need, they have the leverage, right? They are a project, I need to get it done, or a campaign's coming up, or a launch is coming up, or a rebrand is coming up. Usually why somebody's reaching out, but when a marketing company is reaching out to you, you have two options. I would imagine one is try desperately to uncover a need or propose a need, right? Or two, build a relationship. And I think, you know, obviously the latter being the most profitable in the long run. And so I would imagine that your approach would be a little bit twofold on that, to try to build a relationship and create some sustainability for that contact, but then also to maybe propose ideas or opportunities. So do you use business intelligence, or are you targeting specific groups that may have a specific need? Or are you really targeting companies, maybe location-based or area-based, to start building more relationships? What is your perspective on this?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. We're identifying companies that, you know, we think, you know, will have some sort of pain point that we think we can solve, right? Otherwise, why would they take the time to meet with you in the first place?
Sure.
However, you know, we're advising our clients that, you know, especially we focus a lot on more enterprise deals, bigger deals. These are not decisions. There's no one call closes in this world, right? So you have to think long-term. You know, there's a lot of decision makers that are going to be involved in this buying process. The buying process could be 6, 9, 12, 18 months, you know, at times. So you have to go into it with a, you know, mindset that you're here to build a relationship. And if, you know, a problem and we have a unique perspective that you might want to hear, that is sort of the Trojan horse to kind of get your foot in the door and to start that relationship. But you have to go into it with that type of mindset.
I like that too. I think you mentioned that in a blog post recently. If y'all aren't following Christian, he's got some great content out there. Definitely check him out on LinkedIn. But you mentioned something about that unique perspective. I think it's very interesting because oftentimes people try to personalize things saying they know my problem, right? Or they, I know your problem. I know what you're struggling with. And that's in a very aggressive way. And I'm always very abrasive to it. Even if I am struggling from that problem, my first reaction is, why, who do you think you are to tell me, you know, my problem better than I do. But when somebody says, hey, I have a unique perspective based on this problem that a lot of people like you are experiencing. Well, now I am. So I do have that challenge and wow, a unique perspective, something I'm open to. So I really loved that concept. Personalization is a very interesting concept now. Are you doing anything other outside? Are you doing gifting campaigns, things like this, the actual physical delivery, you know, the old postal service? Are you using any of these types of techniques to open doors nowadays?
Yeah, something we've certainly done in the past. I think with COVID, we've moved away from some of that because so many people are working remotely. It's harder to find them at their offices. There are some interesting platforms out there now that do gifting more virtually, you know, where you might get a gift card or something along those lines. You know, it's not something we push a whole lot. You know, at the end of the day, you know, kind of my perspective, at least on that, is if it takes, you know, a $50 gift card in order to get somebody to meet with you. You know, I'm not sure if that aligns the right type of prospects, you know, to engage. I've certainly heard that it can work and I'm sure it does, but it's not something that we, you know, really push for most of our clients.
Yeah. You know, and you're right. I think it's either all or nothing type of thing with the gifting. If you throw garbage against the wall, you're going to get garbage back. Yet I've seen some pretty impressive gifting ideas. We actually had the idea of potentially doing because if you think about an account-based marketing, you know, say put out to 10 clients, a $500 gift, you know, something substantial. And if your personal interaction or space or that meeting is powerful enough, you know, you could really leverage something like that. We were actually looking at doing a VR headset, something like that, and doing, you know, leaving one of the remotes back and sending only one of the remotes and say, you know, if you want to really get the full activity, full use of your VR headset, just like your company's culture, you know, come see us, you know, some type of concept like that where we really stood out. And I thought that was always, it's something we're still working on doing right now. Once we have the right targeted at ABM, and I think that's the most important when you know who you need to work with and who you need to have those conversations with. But I always thought that was good for marketing companies, just because marketing stands out, and for marketing companies to be able to stand out to somebody, kind of, ooh, that's something different and unique. I'd like to work for that company.
Yeah. No, maybe not exactly gifting, but along the same lines, more of on a hospitality type of an approach. You know, we're working with a client right now to launch a CMO dinner series where they're going to invite, you know, high level CMOs in the New York area, fancy New York restaurant. And, you know, everything obviously will be comped for the CMOs, even some travel for those traveling out of town, but it brings together a bunch of people together. So similar concepts, I've done in the past virtually, same thing where we sent out wine, free wine kits. We had a sommelier do a virtual wine tasting, and that was all sent to same thing, CMOs and CIOs, a big organization. So I think, you know, if you're getting creative like that, I like that better than just kind of sending, you know, out a $50 gift card or something. You know, I like your VR headset idea is great as well.
Yeah. You know, and I think Christian's got a point there. You know, if you're going to do it, you got to do it to stand out. And I think that's the point with any marketing. You know, if people get familiar with content being boring, and then you put something that stands out, it's incongruent. It's not even, doesn't even match the story. So I think it's very, you know, for marketing companies like that, it is very interesting on how you stand out and how you continually be original. But I always like that idea that we have a unique perspective, because everybody's out there's like, oh, because listen, let's be honest. Marketing is marketing. Like it is something we all still have to figure out, right? There's no exact science to marketing every product and service. So that unique perspective, how much of your job is helping people find out what their unique perspective is?
It's actually become, it's a much bigger part than I anticipated when I launched the firm, you know, because again, you think, you know, agencies, they know this, right? This is what they do for their clients. And they do know it. It's partially, I think they have not taken the time because they're busy. It's the cobbler's kids have no shoes syndrome. So it's partially like that. They need someone to help. Part of it is also, it's hard to see the label when you're inside of the jar. And we help, you know, pull that out for them. So yeah, we're doing quite a bit of that. I think what's interesting working with us as well, because we are so focused working in the advertising and marketing space, that you know, we will oftentimes hear from clients that they'll give us something very vanilla, and we'll push back on them and ask for something more provocative. Because if it's something that's just generally accepted and everybody knows it already, you know, that's not a unique perspective, and that's not going to cut through and make somebody switch, you know, agencies. So a lot of that is pushing our clients and to sometimes it's uncomfortable for them, but those that are able to get there and trust the process are the ones that end up reaping the best rewards.
It's so funny because this is the same conversation with businesses. It's the same conversation with salespeople and humans individually. You know, be more of yourself. Be more bold in the things that you believe in and your standards and your values. Declare your values. Live by your values all the time. Like this is, you know, and don't be afraid to be unique and be different. Like, I mean, if you look at these ideas and concepts, they apply to businesses, to marketing companies, to humans, to like everything. And there's so much noise out there now because it's not just one medium of, you know, TV where agencies were like, yep, you buy the ads on the TV and we're going to guess on how many impressions there are, or you can measure them on the TV. And then we're going to guess about how many magazine impressions or how many billboard impressions, right? Now it's, you're getting them everywhere and it's not slowing down anywhere. It's not slowing down anytime soon. It's going to continue to pick up and hopefully get more personalized, but there's going to be more agencies out there doing it. Everybody's going to be able to sell ads. So the marketing agency, the marketing world is not going to slow down. It's going to continue to change and be, it's going to continue to roll over. So I believe what you're doing, Christian, is just so valuable right now. Even if the marketing aspect weren't as effective to help people understand who they are and what differentiates themselves, it gives them an opportunity to find themselves, but then it gives them the process to do it over and over again in the future, as you will, as you have yourself already. That's beautiful. Yeah. So what do you see in the future for this industry, and marketing industry, marketing ad agency industries? What's going to happen here in the next coming years? Anything we should look out for with AI and all this stuff happening?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be no slowdown, like you said, in different channels that are out there. And it's just, things are going to get more expensive and tougher to cut through. Consumers are, you know, increasingly distrustful of marketing. So, you know, all of these things that we've been hearing, you know, are continuing. You know, there's proliferation more of digital, you know, so all these things that is going to continue to keep happening. And if you're going to stay competitive, you know, you really have to specialize and you really have to have a focus, because it's just incredibly difficult if you're going to try to be all things to all people in this day and age to try to keep up. So, you know, we're really, you know, trying to push our clients to really own something and do it really, really well, because even that something is going to be changing rapidly. So
I like that, own something, right? Everybody wants to, oh no, we can do that. Somebody said on a call with me, that was David. It was David Hutchins. And he said, I don't do that. I do this. This is what I'm really good at. And I was like, wow, that's so beautiful to hear somebody say, right? But as you said, as the agents, as the market gets more flooded, as more people become saturated, people are going to look for somebody to stand out, and you can't stand out on everything. So find what it is that you're great at and stand out in that area. I really love that. So tell me about I want to go back to one thing also that you said. You said earlier, I thought building relationships should be the first priority, but you said, no, leading with that unique perspective is the first priority. And I like that. If I get a cold email or a cold response or even a cold outreach and somebody's automatically trying to build a relationship with me first, I'm like, first off, you didn't just reach out to build a relationship. You know, like second off, I don't have time for a new friend right now anyways. Like, you know, it's almost annoying. But you're right. If they lead with a unique perspective, now I'm like, all right, I value who they are and their uniqueness in that industry. Now I might be willing to build a relationship with them. Why? Because now that I have something that I can see in common with them. You know, they're a trendsetter in the industry. Cool. I'd like to talk to them. I believe I am that too. And so that's a very, very good point you make there, Christian. What are some other mistakes made with the clients that you deal with on a regular basis?
Oh,
some common mistakes.
Where do I begin with that one? Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest things is, you know, to piggyback a little bit off what you said, you know, they really want to just, you know, they want to jump right into what's the project, right? What's the assignment, right? They're not, again, they come from a world of inbound and referrals where there is a defined project already. So they got to understand that there is a longer sales cycle that happens here. So that's certainly, you know, a big mistake that a lot of our clients make.
You know, taking the time to really go through the discovery process with a prospect.
Exactly. Yeah. Nurturing, I think, is another big pain point of clients. Especially again, we're talking longer sales cycles. You might have a great, you know, conversation to start off, but how are you going? We talked about, you know, maybe that's creating the relationship, but how do you build? Build is not just a one interaction that builds over time. And what is your strategy then after you've met somebody to continue to develop and grow that relationship? So are you doing CMO dinners? You know, are you putting out thought leadership? You know, what are you going to continue to do to build that relationship? And again, that's an area where I didn't, you know, with starting this firm initially, understand that would be something that we might need to help with, but it is something growing in importance because you can get the leads, but if you're not nurturing them, you know, over time, that relationship is going to fizzle.
I want to talk about what nurturing in that area right now, because you know, people hear nurturing and it's in there. Oh, well, you know, what does that mean? Do I have to bring them along the sales process or something like that? And I explain nurturing to our audience, Christian.
Yeah. So, you know, I think of nurturing in a couple different ways, right? So nurturing is, you know, you need to consistently show up, you know, and stay on their radar. So that could be, you know, in the form of, you know, do you have an email newsletter that they get once a week or once a month? You know, are you showing up on LinkedIn? Are you first off connecting with them on LinkedIn? Because that's another interesting thing that I see a lot of times with clients. They have a great meeting and then I'll ask, you know, a month or two later, did you even connect on LinkedIn? And like, oh my gosh, I forgot all about that. So connecting on LinkedIn and then having a strategy to put content so they're constantly seeing your content, interacting with their content if they're posting on LinkedIn, you know, being mindful of like what happened in that conversation, you know, what did they mention? What were some of the pain points? And then when you see, whether that be internal content that you have or even third-party content, you see a really interesting article that talks about something that you discussed on that call, share it with them. Hey, Tom, I was just thinking about you. I saw this, put that in their inbox. So it's a strategy just to keep yourself front of mind, continuously to add value to them. So this way, when the timing is right, you know, they're going to think about your firm rather than, you know, you're out of sight, out of mind, and then they're going to, you know, move in a completely different direction.
I absolutely love that, Christian. And I think it's so important. I think it's a part that most people forget about. That let me get the deal. You don't have a deal. Let me figure out a deal. Let me create a deal. Let me find a deal. Right. No, build, like, the idea is to be, you know, to be different, to get the attention, but then, like you said, to be out there, to be in their sphere of awareness so that when something does come up, you're top of mind. And how do you do that? Not by putting out a bland message around marketing that just coats over everything else out there. You do that by standing out, by being an individual, by maybe being funny a little bit, by being unique, by being different, but by making them feel a little special, or reminding them of why you're important. There's a million different ways to do this. Like you said, social media, these events, post-production from events like that, even just, oh, you weren't at the event. There was a great event that you weren't at. Oh, we're doing these events all the time. You know, it's just narrating your story. And I think, and social media is just a great way to keep that out there because people are monitoring. And so I newsletters and social media are, and it's not just putting it out there. Like you said, it's sending the proper pieces to educate them on who you are and what you're doing so that when something does come up, top of mind. I think, like you said, man, and that makes the lead nerd, and that makes what you're doing valuable. Because if they don't receive the value from the leads that you help them generate, they don't continue working with you, and they don't, and they move on to the next, they move on just to fill to the next problem. They don't learn anything. They don't grow, and they don't move forward. They're just going to pay another marketing company to fill up that bucket, and then it's just going to leak right out again. So I think everything is in that nurturing piece. I think that the front end two pieces of what you do are just so beautiful. Helping people identify, start over here, helping people identify what their unique, you know, selling proposition is, and then helping them nurture those leads that you generate so that they can continue to see how amazing those people are. I think those two pieces are just so, so important. And you're right, man. You kind of got sucked into doing them, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the beauty of a small business, is, you know, you have that flexibility and you learn and you grow. And same thing, we're listening to our clients, you know, where are their pain points and where are their needs, and adapting, you know, along the way, our service offerings.
You're doing the same thing that you teach everybody else to do. Identifying what you're good at, you're identifying the needs in the market, building relationships and helping them solve those problems.
Yeah,
I love it, Christian. I absolutely love it. So how long has the agency been around now?
So we are about a little over a year and a half old now.
A little over a year and a half old. Nice. And what are the next steps for the agency? You're in Chicago, correct?
I'm based in Chicago. Fantastic. You know, our team is really, we're a remote first organization. So we're all over the place. Awesome. And that's the plan, you know, moving forward. But yeah, what's next for us? You know, there's a lot that we can do. You know, so we've talked already today a little bit about how can we help with some of the lead nurturing. So that's definitely something that we are starting to do. We are also, while agencies and MarTech companies have been our focus, you know, what we do is just as applicable almost to any industry. So we've gotten a lot of interest recently from, you know, more tech focused companies. So while right now we're not proactively targeting these types of firms, you know, that's something that's certainly on our radar screen to do as well.
That's interesting. You know, you mentioned being a, you know, outsourced, where, you know, a remote workforce, you know, the idea of, do we do this in-house or do we do this, you know, from hiring somebody outside has really changed recently now too, because, you know, bringing somebody in-house, they don't have to work in-house. They could still be the same style of remote people, but it's almost like hiring a team that's already put together or putting the team together yourself. Are you seeing a lot of these agencies really leveraging the remote workspace? I mean, leveraging creativity from greater places and I mean, shoot, I've got my whole remote team is in South America and Africa right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would say, you know, the agency space, you know, while many of them have reopened their offices, they're very flexible. I think one of the more flexible industries that I've seen, you know, out there, which is great. You know, so for those employees that work there, it's also been great for our business as well. I remember I was doing something similar for a different firm, you know, 5 years ago, and there one of the biggest objections was, well, how are you going to do this sales, you know, and marketing for us when you don't work here? You're not in our office. Well, I've not heard that objection once, because it's become normal now to work remotely and over, you know, Zoom and things like that. So it's opened up, you know, opportunities for us as well. And I think even agencies that maybe not have, would have considered working with a firm like ours, you know, a few years ago, now have become much more comfortable with that idea.
That's great. All right. We've got a ton of salespeople out there, ton of salespeople, SDRs, BDRs, count reps, count managers, all those things. You're out there hustling, you're teaching the sales. What is one tip that you would give any salesperson out there that's grinding, that's out there hitting the phones, they're on that outbound, they're on that hunt game. What's one tip that you would give them that's proven to be something that you would say is defined your unique perspective in sales these days?
Yeah. The way I'm going to answer this is just grind it. Just do it. I can't tell you how many times it's not everybody focuses, I think, on, oh, I want to craft the best email, or what's the perfect time to call somebody, you know, all of these, you know, things here. You know what? Just pick up the phone, just send the email, just put in the work and you're going to see results. You know, I had a teacher years ago say, just by showing up to class, you know, you're probably going to get a C or B in this class. And, you know, how many people just didn't even show up to class and they fail, right? And I think it's the same thing in sales here. You know, it's so easy to get distracted with, you know, social media or, you know, everything else besides selling. There's a lot of stats out there that salespeople spend, you know, a small percentage actually selling and most of the time doing everything else. So figuring out how to prioritize your day and just put in the work, I think, is going to put you in the top 10% of salespeople just by that. And then if you could start optimizing all those other things that everybody talks about, that's when it's going to get you in the top 1%.
I love it. I love it. The idea of minimum viable product, right? If you can't do it right now, then you don't really want to do it that bad. Just get it done, put it out there, and then do it better the next time. I love that, Christian. We have a value that says great today, awesome tomorrow, right? But still do today. Don't worry about being perfect. You're never going to be perfect. What you think is perfect today is not what you think is going to be perfect tomorrow even. So the fact is that you're going to change. So put it out there. I absolutely love that. You know, they call it grind out there. You know, they call it hustle and all these different things, but that doesn't mean it's hard. It doesn't mean it's difficult. It's difficult and hard when you don't do it right now. Once you start to do it, once you have a habit, like Christian's talking about, of just doing it, it's easy. It just becomes who you are. Not doing it becomes hard, right? So the whole idea of hustle and grind, that it's this hard thing, that it really, oh man, you got to have gritty and you got to be in pain. You got to make stupid faces like this. Oh, you don't need any of that. It can be fun and easy. And once you make it a habit, it becomes that way and it becomes your standard. And Christian, I really appreciate you taking some time with us today, man.
Thank you. Thank you. No, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. And where can our audience follow you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, my name, Christian Banach. I think I'm the only one on LinkedIn with that name, but I'll pop up that way. I got a website as well. You can learn more about what we do, christianbanach.com. We have a free masterclass on that website as well. If you want to learn more about, you know, what we do in outbound prospecting, it's totally free. I encourage everybody to register and check that out if you want to learn more.
Awesome. So anybody in sales can value from these lessons because they all lead to growth. And if you're an agency out there looking to double down on your sales and really get some support in building a good system, give Christian a call. He's a great resource, and I'm sure you'll value just from a meeting with him as well. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for following us as usual. We've got some great programs coming up, some amazing guests. So do not miss the next show. Make sure you subscribe and give us all those stars, the ones that we deserve down there. And last but not least, share this with a friend if you think somebody could find some value. What a gift it would be to give somebody that's a little tip that helps them become more valuable to the world today. Thank you all for being here, and that everything leads to growth. And we are the National Association of Sales Professionals.